Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday afternoon, it's Shelly Nunchucks on the Shelly Nunchucks Show. Well, I guess it depends where you are in this world. If you're in China or anywhere else, it might be nighttime or afternoon. So it does depend on the time zone. So good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you reside. I hope it is all good. And it's Sunday, and I hope everybody's enjoying their day out there. And I have a special guest coming on, but I do have a couple announcements to make. And I feel, first of all, I just am so very thankful. I've been doing my show for over a year now, and I keep getting these guests. I'm very, very thankful that each of these guests have been on my show, and they've taken their time out of the schedule. So once again, I'd like to say live on the air, thank you very much. And I will be having a lineup. I have guests lined up, and I will be telling everybody the dates. And as I think it was Buddha or Stanley might have said, because since my voice is getting bigger, I shall take this line: with great power comes great responsibility. And my voice is getting bigger on radio. So the thing that I want to do as I follow a man that I now call my friend and one of my idols, Jackie Chan, want to do more charity work. And I really believe that if you have a bigger voice, people will listen to you more. So there's a couple of things I'd like to bring up today before I bring on my special guest. There is an event happening in Maine, and it is I'm going to pull it up where you can actually go to. It's Walk to End Alzheimer's. It's the Alzheimer's Association. And you can do donations. I know September 28th is going to be a walk in Portland, Maine. If you like to donate funds, you can go to the web address. It's A as in Apple, L as in Lion, Z as in Zebra, .org/walk. You can go there and donate money towards this charity foundation. So you can actually go there. This event, I mean, it's a big, huge event, but there's one actually in Maine that's happening September 28th, and that is on a Saturday, if anybody likes to walk. But if you can't make the walk, you can donate towards that there. And another one that my radio show is affiliated with, Ordinary Woman, Diamond in the Rough, there's actually another one, is the Sarah Joy Foundation. And Sarah was a young mother who passed away from cancer. So there's one called Sarah's Joy Foundation, and I guess you can buy T-shirts there. There is an event. There's a run coming up. It goes to Sarah's, S-A-R-A-H-S, joyfoundation.org, org/default.htm. But you can go to my Facebook page and look this up, so you'll be able to see it all there. So once again, I think you can get T-shirts if you can't make the run. With these two charity events, if you can't make it physically, you can still donate. So I am going to actually, I think I might have my special guest in the queue. Give me one second here. I'm trying to bring up, give me one moment here. Let's see. I think might have my special guest in the queue. Let's see, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, caller. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hi, is this Carlos?
Hey, Shelly. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing well. And you?
Oh, not bad. I'm just down here in Florida, soaking up some sun.
Oh, my gosh.
How is it up your way?
It's okay. I can't complain. I haven't been out yet. I haven't even taken a shower. I just, you know, I get ready for the show. And thank you so much for being a guest on my show. I am so super pumped.
Oh, absolutely. That's a great word to use, too.
Yeah, I am.
Great choice of words.
It's just how I am. I'm a staz, and it's like I like to bring the energy on the show, and I like to bring positive people. And, you know, I'd like to you know, let the callers, you know, for you to tell a lot of callers about yourself. You know, you are a bodybuilder, and why I brought you on the show, and I'm hoping to provide more people, if you do know them, about bodybuilders that actually work out without the use of steroids. And that's one of the reasons why I've actually had you on the show here. But before getting into, you know, with yourself and bodybuilding and stuff, I want to know about, like, your childhood and stuff and how you got into, you know, lifting and everything. So if you want to tell the viewers a little bit about yourself. So.
I was just a kid, just like any other ordinary kid.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in a small town in Massachusetts, a small town called Ludlow. It's in the Springfield, Massachusetts area. And I grew up in, like, a really heavy populated Portuguese community. And soccer was always the main theme there. It was like probably like 80% Portuguese, and like soccer ruled. I don't know. I've always been that type of kid. Even when I was a kid, I don't know, like other things always appealed me. It seemed like I never followed where the majority went. I always like had my own interests and my own things, and this just wasn't with sports, or it was pretty much a lot of stuff. I was a small kid. I was surrounded by, you know, comic books, action movies, sports, pro wrestling, and you know, all those things had in common was these, you know, great muscular physiques. You know, really mm-hmm. fit, really big, and it just appealed to me. You know, I was a little kid. You know, and every little kid, like, you know, always wants to be big when he grows up, and you know, that was pretty much, I think, the seed that planted my interest. But, you know, I didn't actually pursue it until years later because, you know, there was no gym in town and, you know, I didn't have a car yet. So it was like a dream, really, you know, and I kind of escaped to like comic books and the wrestling and the, you know, the Arnold Schwarzenegger action movies. And even my uncle, you know, my uncle was probably the, he's actually my godfather. He's probably the buffest one in the family. So kind of looked up to him when I was a little kid. And, yeah, so it was the seed. And then I grew up into my teens. And, you know, when I turned 16, I was lucky enough to have a gym in town. And I joined it for a couple months. And, you know, I started seeing results pretty quick. And then the gym moved out of town. So I was left without a gym again. So, you know, I didn't rejoin the gym right away. Because, you know, I was a kid going through trouble. I was growing up, getting into trouble with the wrong crowd, you know?
Yeah, and you must have had, from what I'm, like, reading in your bio, you know, about Arnold Schwarzenegger, was he a big inspiration for you? Did he actually help keep you going?
He was one of my inspirations. He released a documentary back in the 1970s, before all this stuff even came out, called Pumping Iron. Him and Lou Ferrigno starred in it, and it made them household names. And it brought the working out into the limelight, and it really it started becoming this major business with gyms opening up all over the country. Sports products, sports clothing. It became like a fashion almost, kind of like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
These were like the earlier days. And, you know, like back then, before that, it wasn't really common to see physiques and men that big. So it was really interesting to see all this. And, yeah, that's pretty much it as far as the roots. And then, like, you know, the movies, he became a, you know, huge movie star. He had all sorts of box office records during the 80s with Terminator and Predator. And, you know, that just...
They had a lot of people, yeah, in the Predator. You know, like, just see the body...
Like, everybody in that movie. And not only him, but it was Sylvester Stallone. He started doing the action. And just, you know, all these major movies that were coming out, these action movies, like, you start seeing the stars, everyone was chiseled. Like, they might not even have been as big as Arnold, but they were, like, they brought something. They brought either, like, really, like, shaped and cut. You know, in your case, the martial arts, those became big. You have these, you know, Jean-Claude Van Damme and even Bruce Lee. You know, he was, believe it or not, he was a bodybuilder. He wasn't big. But he believed in bodybuilding principles, the mentality of it, the taking care of your body.
Yeah.
And it's been implemented in so many sports and so many martial arts, just little things that, you know, the sport has given as far as discipline and diet. So a lot of sports have taken bits and pieces from it, you know, and implied it in their own training. And, you know, I just loved it. I fell in love with it. After, you know, I got myself, you know, I was growing up, trials and tribulations, you know, drugs. I mean, I'm not saying I, like, you know, got into any hard stuff, but I think...
It's normal, you know, like, people do things and it's like they start growing up and we go, what are we thinking? We don't want to do that. We want to better ourselves, because on my show there's no, you know, and I'm not here to judge people, so that... You know, if there's things that you talk about,
that's just part of,
you know,
growing up. I mean, I wasn't, I was never in jail. But, like, some of my best friends, actually a couple of my best friends, you know, after high school actually went to prison, you know, and these were two of my best friends. And then I'm like, you know, now what do I do, you know? Like, my two best friends just went to prison for a couple of years. Yeah. And, you know, so I decided, luckily I didn't, and I got myself, you know, I finally, like, you know what, this is, you know, just like so many other people, I was there before, you know, it was a dream, you know, it was like this, I've always wanted that physique. So I'm like, you know what, let me just join the gym, and it's kept me out of trouble, it's kept me structured, it, you know, and it's, it, 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 it's not even just the body. It just keeps you, you know, focused in routine.
Mental,
in a routine.
Yes. It's
right.
Just everything
and most of it is actually mental. People don't think so, but most of it is actually mental. I'd say probably a good 50% of it is mental.
Yeah,
and,
it also too,
you know,
with your training and such, right? The reason why I wanted to bring you on the show because, you know, I try for myself because I don't live near a gym. So I try to do some study and, you know, looking at muscles and wanting to know more because I actually wanted to be a fitness trainer before I moved to Maine. And, you know, I might get into studying stuff, and it's like to study the muscles and the shapes, and it's like not just looking at the body. But, you know, when you see a man like yourself and even bigger guys, a lot of times I see comments when people are saying the word that comes up a lot, quite often, is the word steroids. And I'm sitting there going, now, you know, people tell me, you know, you have to be open-minded, like, you know, when people are overweight, because it's a very sensitive subject, because we don't know, we're not in people's shoes, right? So we don't know why someone might have extra weight and stuff, and I go, okay, I understand that more. But on the other end, right, it's like, you know, people say don't be judgmental of anybody overweight. Now, the other end, when someone's in shape and is a bodybuilder, you know, people throw out the word steroids, and it's not necessarily true. And this is why stuff that I've been, you know, around my whole life, bringing people like yourself and explain, you know, give tips maybe on the show today and explain to people how you actually got into the shape that you're in without the use of steroids. Would you be able to talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, I've been training seriously since I was, I mean, when I, you know, as I was saying, this is a perfect chance for me to pick up where I left off. Because once, you know, once I got myself in the gym, you know, and, you know, unfortunately, two of my best friends went to prison. I'm like, you know what, let me get in the gym and, you know, start turning this dream into a reality. And this was just kind of like a young kid, just, you know, wanting to get a pretty much just a buffer body, not even to the extent of Arnold or any Hulk Hogan or anything. But, like, just to get in shape, you know, for the girls, I was, like, in my early 20s, you know, but it was looks, you know. You know, you're that age. But as I started training and I started learning the principles of training and I started seeing these other people train, I actually started taking it very seriously. So I started adopting it more as a lifestyle. So, and I also learned from it. I for some reason, I had this hunger of learning. And, you know, I would try to learn as much as possible because I knew there were ways to get big naturally without steroid use. You know, because I had a couple friends that I already met through the gym that, you know, swore by never taking steroids. And then you had your ones that were really open about it. You know, you knew they were on it. All the evidence was there, the rage, the pimples. And it's pretty much hard work over the years. If you're determined and you're consistent, and you eat, depending on, like, what you want, you know, whether you want size or you want to be lean, it all depends on your diet, and I can't stress that enough. It's all in your diet and your training methods. And if you mentally prepare yourself right and do the best you can do and get your rest and get all your food in, and I can't stress that enough, and most people can't do it. So that's when you get the stereotype of somebody like in really good shape, you know. You know, they got to be on steroids because, you know, why am I not getting the results? And it's just years. It just became years of, you know, I would go through cycles of bulking cycles where I would eat a surplus of food and calories so I could build the muscle with certain exercises. And then, you know, I transfer that depending if I wanted to do a contest. With diet and cardiovascular exercises, you know, and pretty much that dictates your body, and determination would probably be the number one factor along the way. So you need all those elements covered. You need the determination, the positivity, the mental positivity, the nutrients, the food, the excess of food, or the or you know the less food if you wanna lose. And just your activity and just monitoring yourself, you know, eating healthy, eating right, and just, you know, monitoring yourself, whether it be in the mirror or on a scale or, you know, calipers. And it really is a lifestyle.
Yeah. And
so this consistency,
you know,
it's...
Yes.
Sorry?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
yes, you are right. It's a lifestyle. Mm-hmm.
It's consistency. You know, it's like, I've been, some of the strongest men I've met have never touched a steroid. Just, I actually had a good friend who was in prison for a few years, and he decided to do something positive with it, and, you know, and lift weights. And he, you know, obviously didn't have access to any of that in prison, although I hear you could probably get some. But he was able to stay strong when he got out, and we ended up having some great workouts. So it's just the consistency and the desire, really. That'll overpower. And this is me.
Mm-hmm.
This is what I truly believe. That can overpower any steroid.
Yeah, I mean, your physique, with looking at your pictures, and I'm looking at you, and I'm like, because you had mentioned something about, you know, contests and stuff, and I've seen a picture of you, and it had something to do with 50 Cent, you know, the rapper 50 Cent, the musician guy. And
yeah, 50 Cent,
I'm sitting
yeah.
there, yes, you have your before picture and after, and I was like, wow. Now, a couple questions, like, how did you get involved in that, and how many days did it take you to go from the before and after pictures, and also what is that whole thing about?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, like I said, I was working out, and I always felt like I was really good at it. I was really good at when I go in the gym, I like to work hard. I like to challenge myself. I truly believe that I'm the hardest worker and trainer at my gym. I'll always try to out-train the other guy, even if the other guy's stronger and bigger than me. Like, I believe in work ethic. I believe in even if you're not the biggest guy or the strongest guy, I still believe a strong work ethic will beat anybody. And, you know, I would keep my I always thought I was really good at it because I would never cheat. I would always keep my form really good. You know what I mean? I'd always eat, like, I'd eat pretty healthy. And then it got to the point for me where, believe it or not, Shelly, I was actually starting to get bored with working out.
Oh, no way. You?
Yeah, I did. And I'm like, you know, here I am busting my ass for all these years, and for what, you know? And then I'm
mm-hmm.
thinking, you know, maybe this is just a period in my life where I need to start, like, competing now. Because I feel like if I compete and try to win stuff, and if I'm competing against a bunch of people in this contest, the 50 Cent contest that you're mentioning, you know, that'll bring the fire and the desire back. You know what I mean? So, and it just
mm-hmm.
did that. I cleaned my diet up even more. And and after 10 years of lifting, I'm still doing mm-hmm. research. It's like you're always, it's also an activity that you're always learning. Like, and I would take it, like, into, like, body science. I would look up all this research on, like, scientific studies. But I wouldn't limit it to scientific studies because because some stuff I'm like, eh. I'm not going to truly believe that until it's proven to me. And I
so how did you get involved in the contest? Like, I'm sorry.
Well, I was online and I was looking up something to, you know, kind of bring the fire back, have the motivation back, and 50 Cent, I'm sorry, was holding a transformation contest based on his book. I'm like, it was a 6-week long transformation, and I'm like, I think I could do that. So, you know, 6 weeks, and even if it doesn't work out, then, you know, at least I tried, and at least, like, you know, if anything, like, it would help me, motivate me at least, you know, I'd be in the gym at least, like, you know, training hard. So, and that was really what I wanted, you know, the fire back. So even if I didn't win or anything, then so be it, but in my mind, I wanted to win because that was the whole point. You know, I made my workouts that much harder. You know, I'd envision myself like Rocky in Rocky IV. You know, I always, whenever, you know, remember Rocky IV when he's running up the mountain and, you know, that's great.
Yes, I'm like, of course I am. I was like,
that's what I did. Yeah, that's
one of my favorite. Yes.
It's one of my favorite scenes ever, yeah, and that's what, you know, so that kind of powered me, so, you know, I was like a man on a mission, and it took me 6 weeks, And I would do a lot of, I would work out 5 days a week weight training and 6 days of cardio every day for the whole 6 weeks. And sometimes I'd even do cardio on the seventh day, depending on how I felt. And I was able to transform myself in a six-week period. And then, you know, the last couple weeks I tanned and all, and that kind of helped a lot, you know, bring out the definition. Like the little.
Well, how long
touch.
Were you training every day? I know you said 6 weeks, but were you training an hour? I mean, how long did you train every day?
I was training anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half. I wouldn't try to do more than an hour and a half, because if you're a natural and you don't do steroids, your body starts breaking down. Whereas the steroids, kind of, people could train longer on them because it helps you recuperate more. So I was really careful on not going over my hour. So I probably do, like, I'd say, like, an hour, hour and a half of weight training, but I try to keep it more to an hour, and then, like, a half hour cardio. I would do cardio first thing in the morning, and then I do my weight training a little later in the day. And sometimes I'd even follow that with cardio. So sometimes I'd be doing cardio twice a day. So that's a combined total of probably 2 hours. So I do a half hour in the morning, hour weight training in the afternoon, and then another half hour cardio, so that's probably 2 hours total. So hour, anywhere from an hour to 2 hours total combined throughout the day of training. And then, you know, I have my job, and I try to eat six times a day. Actually, I didn't try. I did eat six times a day.
Yeah, because I see that, like,
yeah,
on your Facebook page. You post. Now you post, what you eat, and it's like, you're always eating, and I'm going, oh, my God, this kid's always eating more. Well, you're not a kid,
And that's where most people fail, because most people don't want to eat. Like, who wants to eat that much? You know, but, I mean, but for me, since I want the muscle mass, I have to feed it. See what I mean? Now, for a person who just wants to get in decent shape, you know, they probably don't need to eat that much. It all depends on, like, what you want and where your goals are. There's so many different variables. But when it comes to muscle, you have to constantly feed it, especially myself, because I don't have the best genetics, so I have to constantly feed it.
Well, you look like you have really good genetics. I mean, not to sound like a bummer or anything,
and I get that a lot,
pictures.
But I don't think
you know?
I do, so I have to work extra harder.
Yeah, but you know what it is? Because we look at ourselves. We're not like an outsider. You know what I'm saying? We really, we go hard on ourselves, and we're more critical.
And I think that, and that's
ourselves.
Good in a way, because I truly believe that makes you better. Because say you weren't hard on yourself and you were that means you would just take it easy. Now, how are you going to get anywhere in life by just taking it easy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of a good gift to have. I look at it as a positive. You know?
Yeah, just you have to push yourself.
You know, but like, you know, you don't want to go over the line and be obsessive, you know? You still want to live your life and go to your job, you know what you need to do. But then, like, when you're trying to be the best, you know, you got to really, you know, bring it all out.
Yeah, and what did you eat? Like, let people know exactly, like, did you do, like, food, protein shakes? What did you do to consume?
Now, for the
like,
transformation
what's your...
contest? For the transformation contest, I really limited myself to very few foods, and they were I would try to get a lot of protein in. You know, mostly be chicken breasts, lean steak, primarily eye of round or flank. I had a lot of egg whites in the morning with breakfast, and tilapia. Tuna fish and lean turkey. So those were my most of the foods I consumed for that transformation.
Okay, you're
then,
probably going to have to know what tilapia is, because a lot of people probably might have heard of it. So what is tilapia? Let people know what that is.
Oh, it's a lean fish. It's a very lean fish. It doesn't it has very little to no fat. Probably one of the leanest sources of protein you can eat.
Okay. And what were you going to say as I interrupted you?
And but honestly, Shelley, like before this, I never even ate tilapia. I don't even think I ever ate it in my life.
So how did you start eating?
Well, you know, I researched like lean protein choices to eat on my diet, and you know, tilapia was right there, and I'm like, okay, well, you know, let me add that, you know, kind of add extra food to my chicken breasts and steak. And then for carbohydrates, I have oatmeal in the morning, plain oatmeal at that, you know, with some cinnamon, a lot of sweet potatoes, and brown rice would be the majority of my carbohydrates. And then what I would do at night, and a lot of people fail at this, and they wonder why they can't lose weight, is I will cut my carbohydrates at night. And that, I feel like that really helps. So I kept my carbs medium to high during the day, and they were very clean carbs at that. And then I would cut them out at night and replace them with green fibrous vegetables like broccoli and spinach and kale. So that was, you know, that was one of my little tricks.
Yeah. So what, like with the contest and stuff going on for the 6 weeks, did you ever get aggravated at yourself and want to say, F this? I mean, has there ever been times
absolutely.
Like,
honestly, Shelly, like before this contest, I tried entering a couple before this, and I knew I wouldn't have finished. I would never finish them.
So what made
yeah,
you
so,
this one? What made you,
you know,
go completion with this?
I'm 35. Well, I was 34. I just turned 35. I was 34, and you know me. We met a few years ago on the audition for Surrogates with Bruce Willis.
that's what it was, and it was really cool because you know how like the thing that I want the viewers to know about you, because they're gonna look at your picture, you're posting about yourself, you're taking pictures, and you know you don't have a shirt on, but I understand what you're doing. You're showing your physique, and you are not stuck on yourself. You're very down to earth. And
oh, absolutely.
I actually, you know, I went there with a friend there to audition that you started talking, and you're very polite, and I'm sitting there, I was like, he's very well-mannered, and I'm sitting talking because, believe me, I don't like to be around people that are so self-centered. I like people who are very positive, and I was like, okay, this was for the film Surrogates, which I don't know why I never got on to the film, because I was talking about stunts. And, you know,
I don't know why you didn't.
Out.
I would have loved to have you there. Yeah.
Yeah, because the thing is, like, a lot of people didn't really realize, because when we were falling down, everybody was falling down, and we were like, I said, hey, let's go and try to audition together and go and fall down and stuff like that. So we did. So we started talking from there, and I was like, you know, it's nice to have guys that are very physically fit, because I like to know, because of things that I want to do, I deal with a lot of guys, and when I work on film sets, it's strictly for work, it's not a dating thing, and it's like making connections and stuff, and if people like yourself, I stay in contact with, because you inspire me, even if guys are younger than me, as long as I have the mentality of not being a jerk.
Quite a compliment,
yeah, you're not. Yeah, no, seriously, people, like, I mean, seriously, even if someone's younger than myself, if there's someone who is a very good role model, I still stay in contact, no matter where I'm up here in Maine, you're in Florida, I stay in contact with people who inspire me. And
absolutely.
Even, like, I'm, you know, and you have inspired me, and seeing, you know, I don't tell people, what's the term, you perv their Facebook profile. So every once in a while, I perv your profile to see how you're doing. And I know that people do to my Facebook too. And I'm like, this guy, you know, you have a look. And I'm like, I'm really not, because you're on the show with me. And this is what I see in view, because I am an action girl. And I've watched actions since I was little. I never wanted to be Barbie or, you know, a princess. I always wanted to be a ninja. So I've always liked action films. And I don't do this. I don't like this stuff to impress men, to get guys to like me. This is the stuff that I like. So
no, yeah,
I looked at you. I mean, this is really me. And looking at the audition, the way you sat and talked to me, you are a perfect gentleman. And this is what I want to get people like, break the stereotypical thing. I'm showing a guy who's taking pictures of himself. He's doing it as an inspiration. He's not.
Right, and that's
where
you're absolutely right, Shelly. And I'm so happy you get it, because a lot of people don't. That's exactly what that is. It has nothing to do showing off. It has nothing to do with wanting to get the girls. It's totally to inspire, you know, because just as I was inspired when I was a little kid. If I can get a couple people out there in the gym, then my job is that much better.
Mm-hmm.
If I can get people out there on the streets and into the gym to do something productive with their lives, then I know I've done my job. And that's what I want to do.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to get.
And I want to start being a spokesperson for this type of thing.
And it's very hard because what I say, it's like for me personally, on the internet, I always say the art of communication is lost on the internet because people say I'm crazy, this and that on the internet. But then when people come on my show, like yourself, they're like, Shelly, you're actually very nice. And now the rumors are going around saying, Shelly Nunchucks is very nice. And I'm like, no, I'm crazy. Stop that. So now people say, I've met with Shelly and I've talked with Shelly. I've been on a show. She's really a really good person. And I'm like,
absolutely.
Because I want to do ninja rolls and top, but, you know,
absolutely. And you can, and you've done it, and you can, and you're doing it, and you're going to do more because it's all up to you. And I think successful people, people who want to do the impossible that most people think is impossible, have to be a little crazy. I mean, I know I am. I wouldn't say, like, you know.
You're crazy, but it's like a
I'm
different
crazy.
Kind of crazy.
I'm not going to lie.
Stuff out there, but no, you're very much, with your age and such, you are a gentleman. I'm telling you, I just know this. It's like from when I met you on the auditions, it says, well, I'll probably keep contact and network with them, and I wish you so much success because I'm seeing you just did a photo shoot, and I think it was in Idaho, and I think it was, I always get her name. I'm sorry, I get names mixed up. Your girlfriend's name, is it Angela?
Angela, yes.
And I see you guys together, and I'm like, look at that adorable couple. She is so sweet.
Oh,
she glows, and you guys glow together. And I go, that is awesome.
Yeah.
Because you guys complement each other, and she's just adorable. And she's like, she supports you and stuff, and that is very loving. And I'm like, I hope that couple becomes very successful with each other because you can see it. You can see that, you know, that connection with each other. And I hope you guys have this big, you know, you see, like, the actors and stuff that are really big and successful. I'm like, oh, I wish you guys become so successful together. I mean, I can't help myself.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah. No. I mean, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we share the same. That was one of the things that attracted me to her was, you know, she was into the gym. And with my type of desire, you know, I got to be with somebody who's physically involved with the gym or something similar. You know what I mean? Because somebody who gets it, because I have my aspirations. So it just makes the relationship work that much better. And we feed off each other, you know, read each other's throats at times, but you know what I mean. But but it works. It works. You know,
yeah,
we know
and
how
you
to
guys
channel,
are just
we know how
wonderful,
to channel, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And she's involved with the weight loss industry. She works for a weight loss company called Metafast. It's not everywhere; it's in certain spots in the United States. So she truly, you know, enjoys helping people lose weight. You know, she helps overweight people. I mean, I'm talking about 300 pounders, like lose hundreds of pounds of weight. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I could tell she really cares. Sometimes she has to be tough with them, and, you know, they're like little, you know, these overgrown adults who are like little kids saying, you know, they don't know why they're not losing the weight. And she'll, like, you know, act like Jillian Michaels right up to them and be like, you know, you're lying to me. You know, tell me what you ate. You know, they'd be, you know, they're kind of like they're like hiding, you know, they're like these little, like, they're like little fat kids at heart, like hiding the candy bar.
You gotta be tough. It's kind of like tough love, like a parent.
Yeah, but it works.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah.
And they end up respecting her in the long run because of her brutal honesty. And I like that, you know.
Yeah,
I
you
like
gotta
that in
push
a person.
People. Yeah, you have to help them because I think what it is with society, when we reach a certain age, I'm not saying everyone, but it seems like here in America, a lot of people think by the time you reach a certain age, you already have a foot in the grave and you're heading towards that, and
right.
It doesn't matter. And I think it's reprogramming ourselves, and the more we show as we get older, why do we have to, you know how they say, oh, I'm going to sit on, we're going to grow old, we're going to sit on a rocking chair together and just rock away, right? Why do we have to constantly think like that? Why can't we still be moving and flexible and at least walk around? I mean, you already know, like, because you yourself is a certified fitness trainer, and you're looking if you'd be able to tell people, because you are certified and you're looking for more clients, what are some of your websites, how to get a hold of you? I mean, you don't want to give out your telephone number unless you have a business number. How can people get a hold of you, like where you live? Maybe you'll do set up Skype or something like that. I mean, what is
well,
the way?
Well, right now with my recent victories and sponsors, this is totally new. I'm coming up with an idea where I want to start touching people outside of my local community down here in Florida. You know, I want to turn this into a brand. So right now it's just an idea. So I'm starting to do little things here and there with social media. The YouTube. I got a YouTube channel, Forever Los One, with a number 4, EVERLOS, and then the number 1. And, I put little bits and pieces of exercises, proper form, tips on losing weight. I have a little something up there now. I'm adding to it as I go. You know, and the albums you were talking about earlier where I put my food, just to give people ideas, because, right now I'm getting hit by a lot of people saying, hey, what diet did you do, or what supplement did you take, or what kind of workouts did you do? You look phenomenal, and everyone's hitting me left and right with all these compliments and all this gratitude that I feel like I have to give back now. If I can get these people in the right direction, then I'm willing to do it, because obviously I'm onto something here.
That's something that's really good. I give you a big props. I salute you with my nunchucks here, Carlos, because,
I love those nunchucks.
Yeah.
You still got the same
one? Yeah.
I always thought they never called you back. I always thought they never called you back because you were displaying your nunchuck skills to me, remember?
Yeah, because I don't know what happened. I think I scared them.
I seriously think they got scared. Like, well, there were some looks when you... I mean, I was not, Shelly, like, when I met you, in my mind, I'm like, she's got a pair of nuts. I was not expecting that. That was phenomenal.
Really?
I was almost a little intimidated, yeah. Like, the way you were seeing them, you were doing them really fast. And it was, like, people walking in and out, like, these, big shots.
maybe,
they were kind of, like, getting out of the way. And you're just doing it, like, that's your thing, like that's totally normal. Swinging the lethal nunchucks at that rate of speed.
Yeah, because I don't know how fast I do them. Maybe that's what
you do, scared
you do. People.
I was not expecting that. That was impressive.
It's just something, I think what it is, it's like I try to, people tell me the rule of thumb to follow, and I always try to tell people, and I'm like, they don't have to take my advice. When you go to a film set, in auditions, the thing to keep in mind, now this isn't everybody, I don't try to get in other people's business, but this is from top people and that have been talking to me and masteries and stuff. When you go on for auditions, it's good to make friends, network, but when you're working on a film, it's business. I've been getting word of mouth where people are like saying, get Shelly Nunchucks for film, she's very reliable. They are not to date, but to work. So it's like, I says, this is what I've got to bring. And it's like, I would go to audition stuff. I would bring my Jackie Chan book, I Am Jackie Chan, and my nunchucks. And I'd always to talk with,
That's part of you. You're selling nunchucks. You're bringing, you're a character. You're a real life character.
That's what I am.
That's seriously, I love it. And it works for you, and you're doing great with it.
Yeah, I try, and then it's like people like yourself, who I try to stay in contact with, it's kind of hard because it's like, when people get involved in relationships and stuff like that, it's hard, because it's like you're doing all things yourself, So it's hard to stay in contact with friends and, to try to, because they've got their girlfriends and their busy lives and stuff, but you never forget them. And I guess I leave an impression upon people, but when someone, like especially a guy who's kind and a gentleman and stuff to me on sets, I'd never forget that. And it just stays with me. And then it's like, even if I never may see that person again, like yourself, I always wish you well. And I was like, I hope he finds like this nice girlfriend who's going to compliment him and bring him happiness in his life. Because, no, seriously, from what I see and with guys and stuff, because I always try to treat men with respect. I like conversing with them, even like stunt guys. I can sit there and talk about action films all day. And, you know, how you are and how I've seen you are, you know, very kind, and it's like you're good looking, and it's like, that's as a compliment. You have this physique where you're well cut and stuff like that, and I think women would run after you because, you know, you're tall, good looking, young looking and stuff like that, and I think women would find that attractive. But it's like, I knew that you were looking for something more. And I was like, this kid, I say kid, but you're not a kid, but because you're younger than me. But, you know, you're a young man, and you have this mentality where you're very bright, and you have a lot to bring. And I kept praying. I says, I hope he finds someone that is going to be his equal. Maybe not lifting and stuff, but I mean, like, you know, on that level that is going to help you and help you with what you were doing in life. And I see that in Angela. And I'm like, I was like, thank you, God, for bringing him happiness in his life. Because now I can see that you're going to have the success and someone that supports you. And that's like, I don't know if you believe in God or not, but, you know, I try not to.
No, I do.
Good,
I do.
But
yeah.
That's just.
No, I think. I thank,
you know?
Yeah, I thank the Lord for everything I have, all my successes this year.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah, I totally believe in that. You know, even though I believe that that you have to go out there yourself and do the work. You know,
mm-hmm.
You probably meet this in our type of industry, the entertainment industry and whatnot. You know, you got all these people that talk a big game, but they don't go out there and do the work. They try to get it through connections or whatnot, or they try to rub elbows with people, but I truly believe, and I think that helps, you know, networking is great. I think that's that's one of the factors, you know, the more you know, but there's a lot of
mm-hmm.
phoniness out there. But I truly believe that you yourself still have to go out there and do the work. You have to put in the time and effort to pretty much get what you want, you know? And
yeah.
In the end, I thank God for it.
Because
he's given me the opportunities to do so. You know, even though I go out there and I do the work and people are like, well, you shouldn't believe in God because, you know, you're the master of your own destiny. Well, I don't see it that way, you know. I believe he put you here for a reason and, you know, you have that calling and you do what you got to do to get there. And in the end, you thank him for the opportunity to follow it or to have achieved it. You know, because a lot of the times the ride is funner than getting there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The journey sometimes, even if you don't make it, the journey sometimes is, you have all these great memories, you know, of people, like people you've met. You know, I'm sure you've met some great people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from the stories you've told
networking.
Me. You know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Think about it. Now,
I mean,
what if you were to just sit at home and, you know, you know, and do nothing. You know, you wouldn't have these great memories of this terrific journey, what you're doing. You know?
Yeah. Just sit around and mope around and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's
mope around.
All
like, yeah, one,
networking.
You know, yeah.
Yeah.
One
I
day.
Mean, everybody has
these,
bad days.
And then you see all these
yeah.
successful, you know, that person that wants to do something but never have the guts to do it. And then they, like, look at these other successful people be like, oh, well. And they, you know, decide to hate on them. You know, they're all over the place. You know, so
yeah,
you can't listen
I
to
mean,
them. That's exactly what, you know, they are. Is that so? You know, you have to set the
yeah,
example.
But you know what? You know how like people put on haters and stuff. And the thing that I that people came to me because I was doing that on my page, and they says, you know, Shelly, don't write the haters, the word on your book. I mean, on Facebook and all this stuff, because people, you know, they say they have, and they says, oh, my haters, and they're giving everyone the middle finger. And I'm sitting there going, yeah, and it's like, you know, I go, I guess that kind of. I mean, I don't give them the middle finger or anything, but it's like, think about everybody saying, haters, haters, haters. And I'm like, you'll keep attracting that. And as soon as I stopped doing that, I started attracting more beautiful people into my life. Because I was like, you know,
right.
thinking about focusing on what I really love, it's bringing, you know, more and more people, you know, friends that are guys that are truly, you know, masters of what they do, and they give me advice. Now, even though we can network, right, where I got a hold of the biggest stunt people in the world, and even, like I said, I got a hold of Jackie Chan. The thing is, no one is going to give me, you know, a handout. The thing is, I got a hold of people, and they know I exist. That's the half the battle. Now, they want to see what I can bring, and you know, that's what I think everybody has to do, because now that you won that 50 cents competition, I saw you do it a photo shoot, I think it was in Idaho, people are going to want to see what Carlos, you know, is going to bring.
Right, exactly. That's a great way of looking at it. That's, yeah, opportunities, you know, you get these opportunities and you need to take advantage of them, you know, no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you're involved with. You know, that's your moment now. That's like, you've gotten this far, so now, you know, it's almost like momentum. You know, now's your time to take advantage and go to the next level and keep on excelling and, you know, climbing, you know. That's what makes the journey fun.
Yeah. And if you don't mind me asking, I said my guest, and I'm sorry if I didn't mention your name in the beginning of the show, because I said, I'm bringing on my guest, who's in the, I butcher everybody's names, because I have a funny accent, you know, from being Boston and stuff, and it's, I try to pronounce people's names as best as I can, and I keep wanting to say Segwo, but I'm saying your name wrong. I mean, how do you pronounce your name correctly?
Well, in Portuguese, it's Seguro, but you pronounce it Seguro. The most common pronunciation from what I've gotten over throughout my life is Seguro. Seguro.
Seguro. Okay.
Seguro.
Seguro. And I'm like,
Seguro.
I try to
pronounce it. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
you
got it good.
Yeah. Seguro. Seguro. That's how you say your last name.
There you go.
And
yeah, you got it.
Yes. Yes, and I'm like, I'm trying to, you know, like, I try to be very respectful in this, like, there's a lot of names I can't pronounce, and I'm like, I want to bang my head against the wall or have someone kick me in the butt, because I already talk funny as it is, as you,
you know,
well know,
you know
the accent.
And you know what, Shelly? Like, I'm pretty, like, white. Like, if you've seen me, you know, I look like a white guy. You know, Portuguese is technically a white race over in Europe. We're, you know, just like you, you're Italian. Like, we're white. But and sometimes I think the name Carlos, like, really hurt my chances when I was doing all those auditions, because Boston Casting one time sent me a notice saying, "Hey, can you come to our set tomorrow and play a Spanish gangbanger?" I'm like, really? Of all the roles in Boston, with the movies booming, you know.
I know
Spanish
what you mean.
Gangbanger, and then, you know, the whole typecasting thing, you know, that's why Charlie Sheen, you know, his name was originally Carlos, and he changed it to Charlie.
Yeah, I heard that the real family name is Estevez.
Carlos Estevez was the original name, and I truly believe, you know, that name kept me from getting more roles, but, you know, it is what it is. But I just thought I'd bring that up. You know, it's like, out of all the roles, and I don't even I don't even look like a Spanish gangbanger, you know, if the lady were to meet me.
You don't. But you know what it is? I think it's like how people who have a cast things, I mean, the stereotypical thing, believe me, I understand that. It's like, mine isn't a race thing, but, you know, around the time you met me, and it's like, you know, I was training in the dojo a lot, and I got ripped. I got pretty much a lot in shape, and when I was going off for auditions, I mean, it's more crucial with what you're going through because of race, but going there, and I think they thought I was going to play the whore, the hookers, or the slut roles, and I'm like, that's not what I want. And I'm like, no. I'm turning down these roles, and I'm like, and people are like, you shouldn't be so picky because you're not a superstar. And I'm like, why should I have to go off for those things? So just because with what happened on that, I think once you make a voice for yourself, maybe it's something, you know, you don't know when you're networking with, and it's like, who knows? I might have control someday to really cast films and be going, hey, Carlos, listen, I got something for you, and it has nothing to do with your nationality. Because, you know,
I mean,
the film that I'm trying to get going, The Dishwasher, where I have someone approach me, and I need to get $500 for my film. And people are like, that's all you need?
Dishwasher.
For me, yeah, The Dishwasher, which I'm dedicated to.
I remember you telling me about that.
Yes, and someone approached me, and they wanted to offer me money, but what would happen is I would kind of whitewash my own film. And I'm like,
right. This
is kind of insulting, because the man I'm dedicating it to is to Jackie Chan, and it's kind of like that would be a slap in the face to him. So it's like people like saying, oh, you know, you're you know, it's only $500, but right now, you know, everything would be coming out of my pocket. And it's like, if I could get someone to donate $500, they can be an executive producer, because the people that are actually, you know, I wrote this thing about 6 years ago, and the director that's, you know, Sang Veripat, he's still on board for it. And my stunt guy, Anthony Huang, back in Boston, he went to stunt school, and I'm going to have a bunch of crazy Asians running around in Maine. You know, I don't think it's stuff that I'm going to do. And I will sit and I will wait. I will not take money if people are going to try to whitewash my films. Now, you don't know where my life is going to go, where maybe someday I'll have investors for a film. And then it's like, I could think of you if I need a guy that's really big. I go, hey, Carlos, I'll call. Like, listen, I need a good bodybuilder guy that I know.
Yeah.
You know, you want to come on board, I can call you. Hey, Carlos, listen, I'll get you to come. You know, you don't know what's going to happen in life, because
could
say,
I'll be there.
Carlos, I'm going to write a part for you. You know what I'm saying? You're a big, huge guy, and you're not going to be a gangbanger. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
You know,
not that I really cared about the gangbanger role. I actually thought it was pretty cool, but like, just the fact that that was the only like call. Well, one of the calls I got was, you know, for that. Like, and that's just because she probably saw Carlos. Oh, Carlos! Oh, great, perfect. You know, I just thought it was funny to share.
Yeah, I mean, but don't give up. If you like right now, maybe it's on hold for you acting, because when we were talking before, I know you had wanted to get into acting more. Right now you're doing your thing. You know, you're doing the bodybuilding.
This is just as good to me. It's exposure. This is just as good. This makes me happy. If I can help people in the process, then I'm a happy guy, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you don't know where this could go for you, like right now, because, you know, you hear about people that have to put things on hold, and then eventually,
right,
a few years down the road, they get back into it. I mean, here's an example, right? You know Harrison Ford, right?
Harrison Ford, absolutely.
Well, he had wanted to, this is a story I heard. He wanted to, you know, get into acting, and he was actually a little bit older. I think he was in his 30s when he did Star Wars, and he was very cocky, you know, stuff when he went up to audition. This is something that I heard, and he was like a carpenter for a set, and he actually did Star Wars in his 30s. So, you know, even though as we get older, you just don't know where with what you're
absolutely
doing right now, because you're getting exposure.
And what's her name, Kathy Bates?
Mm-hmm.
Kathy Bates, right? She started when, wasn't she older when she got her first major role?
I think so. I think it was a lot of people, they do.
Morgan,
you know,
Freeman, Morgan Freeman, I believe, was older. Morgan Freeman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is just
like
a number.
Yeah.
Just a number. Yeah, that's all it is to me. You know, if you want to be successful, your age doesn't have anything to do with it. Most people think it does, but it really doesn't. You know, if you have something to bring to the table, if you have something that, you know, your desire in itself will get you there.
Yeah,
you know,
you're still just a baby. I mean, look at you. If you keep going the way you go, look at
Arnold.
Here's
the thing. Here's the thing, Shelly. Like, I dreamt about this stuff for years. You know, this is just an example of, like, you know, what if I were to apply myself like this in my 20s? You know?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I kept on putting it off. And then, you know, there comes a time in your life is like, you know, it's either now or never. Like,
yeah,
you're
bringing it
full
force. You're doing it
right now, as we're speaking.
Yes.
Yeah, you got it. Absolutely.
And you stuck with it. And it's like, now it's like, because you stuck with it, it is actually, you know,
it's
starting to pay off in your own way. And you will become successful. You can just tell that.
Yeah, you just have to keep going. That's what most people get frustrated and they give up. You gotta take the obstacles with it. You gotta take the losses. It's part of it. You gotta just take it and go with it. You know, and they're like, no, let nothing stop you. You just keep going. Now that's the trick. You know, a lot of people don't have the patience for that. You know, and I'm sure you've met the ones that just want the money. You know, that's the wrong reasons. Mm-hmm. Those ones usually don't make it, and if they do, it's very short-lived. You know, just to want it for
like
the money.
15 minutes of fame, and it's like, I think the best thing in the world, you know what it is? You know how people talk about the mansions and all this stuff? You know what would be really awesome is if you really think about it, because everybody wants to have where there's not tons of bills, but the best, I think the dream of mostly everybody probably would be in a normal thing is to have a car. It's not the most expensive car. Have it paid off, and you don't owe money for a car. You have a house.
Oh, absolutely.
Maybe it's not
paid
a mansion,
off.
But it's paid off.
Paid
and then,
off,
you know,
it.
It's like you have money to do things that you love doing. You know what I'm saying?
I would say have everything paid off, have a good portion of it in the bank, and then, you know, whatever's left over, you know, treat yourself a little bit. You know, enjoy your successes, you know, but, you know, that's how I feel.
Yeah, and exactly, I think that's basically the dream. I mean, there's people that want to be rich beyond means and stuff, but I think
they're in it for the fame and the money. They're not in it for what they the true passion of it. So it usually doesn't work.
Yeah, you gotta be passionate. You can.
You know, it doesn't
work.
It won't show in the what you're trying to do, whether it be acting or martial arts or fitness. It just won't show because you just want the money. But if you truly love doing something, I always thought, like, if you truly love doing something, try to make money from it because you're good at it because the passion's there. Usually when you have real passion in something, you're going to excel at it, you know?
Yeah, and people can see that. It's like with the film that I was doing last winter, and we're still doing it, it's called Valcare. And, I mean, we're still trying to get, like, donations and stuff because we need funds and everything. And I'm telling you, it is the hardest film set I've ever worked in. In Maine, it's very cold. It's like the North Pole. We were training out there. The director Z, the guy that's the head of it, he made us lift up trees and rocks. This was, like, rocky. And then in the winter time, we had nothing waterproof. We had snow. There was pitches. We had snow up to our knees. He had us running around, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's 0 degrees below. We're out there. There's nothing covering us. We have no, you know, we're not like a big Hollywood thing where we have something to protect us from the cold. We just had coats. So we're sitting there freezing. We have our skin is on our arms, and this is below zero. We have nothing protecting our arms. We're out there filming, and we're all like, we're going to do this. We're freezing in the snow.
Right.
I'm telling you, we're soaking wet, but we're going and going and going, and it's just, it's really hard. We're still filming it, and
absolutely.
We were doing horseback riding lessons. So to show that, I'm hoping, you know, people are going to really understand what people like yourself and myself are going through to show that passion and understand it. But like with anything, it all comes down to money to be able to do things for what you love dreaming.
Right.
So with yourself, you're supporting yourself by working a full-time job. Nothing is handed to you because, like I said, I peep your profile. And that's what I do. When I have my guests on the show, I peep profile and go, Carlos works, you know, you work a full-time job. So nothing is handed to you. You know, you're paying your rent.
I've been working since I was 16 years old, and I've had my current full-time job since I was 20. So, yeah, I'm just like everybody else. I'm nobody extra special. I do an 8-hour, sometimes over 8-hour job. I'm thankful, though, because my job has a little leeway because, you know, I could trade days, so I could get some days off here and there. I could take vacation days with short notice. You know, I could fly for free. So I kind of have, like, a couple extra perks. So, you know, and Shelly, I've used my full-time job because I feel like you need to use whatever you you have to if it helps you with your passion. Like, for example, like, when I was doing auditions, sometimes I'd fly to an audition. You know, I remember I flew to an audition in Cincinnati to try out for a Gillette Fusion commercial. you know, just things like that. I flew to Philly to help promote with Sylvester Stallone's project a few years ago. You know, just things like that, you know. So, you know, I'm always, like, I'm trying to take advantage of, like, things that I have that I could use for other things. You know, it's all about being creative and, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, no, it's what a lot of people, I think when people do films and stuff, they don't realize in the indie world and everything you're doing, most people, you know, blue collar, they work full time, and a lot of things come out of their own pocket. So, you know, a lot of people, they do raise a family and such like that, and then on top of that, they have to work twice as harder because nothing is given and everybody's hard working. And you can see that, like I said, going back to your picture. And I do understand when you're showing the pictures of yourself with no shirt on, it's not because you're stuck on yourself. You're showing how you got from point A to point B. You're literally showing, you know, products that you use, you know,
right.
Like protein shakes and stuff like that.
Protein.
The food
mm-hmm.
that you eat. And it's like, even in your photos, you're saying, well, I'm doing a photo shoot now. It's every step along the way. And see, I get that and I understand it. And it doesn't mean you're self-absorbed, but having that healthy lifestyle, I think having your own circle, maybe it's not martial arts, but you actually, I think in a way, you kind of are living like, you know, the way of a martial artist, you know, way
right.
of that, you know, knowing that path that you're on, and it's a very good path, and I can see that about you, Carlos.
Oh, thank you, Shelley. Singles for you. You're making it happen.
Yeah.
You're making it happen as well, my friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we're always going to be, you know, friends for life and stuff, even if
I think, I think we've definitely evolved since we've known each other.
Yeah, you were very, you know, when I met your audition, you were very quiet. You seemed very shy. I don't know if it was one of your first auditions that you went to, and I was like, oh, no, you can do this and that. And I think it's like, you know, because I was left to the person that was with me that, like, just took off for a while, and I was like, I don't know where I am. I don't have a car ride, and it's like, I
well,
don't, maybe
yeah.
something, you know. I was
well,
like,
I mean,
I'm just
not one to bull, you know, to BS. You know what I mean? You know, like, you're
yeah.
an audition, and then there's that guy that, like, says, like, all this stuff about how he knows this person and how his friend knows this celebrity and just, like, talking. And then in your mind, you don't want to be disrespectful, but, like, in your mind, you're like, well, what have you done? You know?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It's sometimes
what
I
exactly
get nervous.
Have you done? What
yeah.
do you know?
Like, people think it's, like, the way I'm on set, I actually get nervous around people, so it's, like, the thing I do to focus is, like, I might try to find someone who isn't going to make me nervous. It's like, because people look at, like, oh, she's going to kick my butt. But sometimes I'm very nervous at auditions, and I'm like, I just put up this thing where, okay, I'm bringing out the nunchucks, I'm in my Jackie Chan book, but deep down inside, I'm kind of really nervous. So I think when I had met you, because, like I said, people that I went to the audition, it took off for a while, I'm going, when are these people going to come back? Am I stuck here? And I don't know. So when I started talking with you, I actually, my nervous level came down. I says, well, he seems all right. I says, is this guy a freak or something like that? I says, I don't know, because this is what I'm, but after, you know, this is what I was thinking. I says, I know he's good looking and stuff. Is he a player? And it's like, this is what I kept thinking at you at first, but we started talking, and I'm like, he seems pretty cool. And it's like, then just whipping out the nunchucks and talking. I was like, yeah, Carlos is all right. So I
didn't want to
hang out with you, you know?
You thought I was stuck up?
Well, no, at first, because you see a good-looking guy.
No, I get that a lot.
No, see, this is my perception at first is because, you know,
I get that a lot, though. Don't feel bad.
For me personally, like, working around, like with stunts and stuff, it was mostly men. And a lot of guys, it's like, you know, I don't know what it is. It's just sometimes it's like, I don't like a guy that's stuck on himself. And I think I got jaded for a while where there was so many men, and I'm just like, I just want everyone to stay the hell away from me when I go on auditions. And people like, she's crazy. And it's like, I would have this thing where it's like, oh, go F yourself, like, to everybody. And it's like, showing them checks is really, really nuts. But I think it was a protection thing. So you just stood out to me and says, okay, let's see what this guy's about. It was like, you know, and then it's like, when I started talking to you, I felt this different type of energy, and I have this thing, I don't know what it is. Okay, and it's like two magnets. Okay, when I feel like, when I don't like someone for some reason, I don't know what it is, I get this thing, and I think it's an energy thing. And you ever put two magnets together? If you put them together on one side, they click, and then it's like, if you put on the other side, they bounce off. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, you ever put two magnets together? And
yeah, I know what you mean.
And it's like, mm-hmm. sometimes I get that with certain people, I'll bounce off. But, like, after when I started, like, talking with you, it was like two magnets together. I go, well, his energy seems okay, and my nervous energy level is going down lower. So
yeah,
I was like, okay,
I feel kind of comfortable
to speak with him. I says, all right, I'll sit and, you know, I'll give him a chance, because I've always had to put a wall up because of how I've been treated my whole life. And I says, Carlos is cool. I says, okay, he's cool, Leo. I can deal with him. So that's why I connected with you. And until, like, I says, I don't even know how I'm going to, I was like, I was nervous, like, I don't even know how I'm going to get home. I don't even remember where the audition was for Surrogates for that scene. But we started talking, and I was like, eh, he's pretty cool. And so
I think they missed out on you. I think they lost out on you. Like, they could have used a nunchuck surrogate. Now imagine that.
Yeah, but I don't know how well the film did. You know, I think things happen for a reason. I says, well, I didn't know that film. But, and you, like everybody else, I don't know if you, I think maybe you were one of the persons that had called me up. I think you actually did call me up, and you're like, where are you? And then we're going, no, they never called me. And it's like other people like, Shelly, why are you on
set? Yeah.
And I was like, I never got called, and everybody was calling.
Don't forget the fighter with Mark Wahlberg, remember?
Yeah, I went there.
We ran into each other at the set.
Ran into each other, and I was like, you know, I got a picture with Mickey Ward and everything like that, and I met you there.
Mickey Ward,
like, yeah. Oh, I know. I went there, and I was like, I don't know if I'm going to get on set, and it's like, when I went there, the funny thing is, they put my resume in a different pile, and I was like, than most of the people, so I was like, I don't think they like me. I for some reason, I don't know why, and I was like, I went there, and I was, like, explaining, you know, whatever. But, you know, people don't get on things for a reason. So I was like,
it's okay.
I met
you know, I never was really bummed out about that stuff. You know, you get used to it after a while.
No, it's kind of cool because it's like, there you were. You know what I mean? You were there. So it's kind of like, hey, there's Carlos again.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, and those are usually the memories that you keep, you know. It's fun. You know, you work on these sets, and you know, sometimes you don't make it, and you know, if you want to succeed, you got to take some rejection sometimes. So, you know, I got used to it. You know, a couple times it was hard, but then it's like, you know, whatever, because you know you're gonna make it because you're that determined. So.
Yeah,
but,
and it's great because, like, people like yourself, I mean, I know you're, like, going to have a busy day today, but, you know, people like yourself, you, even if you're, you know, whatever age is, because age is only a number, you do inspire me. And I know you have a very busy day today. I mean, is there anything else, you know?
Well, Shelly, that's about it. Like I said, if people want to follow me or I'll find out more about me, they could always go on my Facebook or my YouTube channel. I'm starting to put videos of myself. They could follow me, subscribe to my YouTube channel, Forever Lost One, and that's with the number 4, and then EVERLOS, and the number 1. I got some good stuff up there on diet and exercise and weight loss tactics. Weight training exercises with proper form, and I'm adding to it as I go. So, for anybody out there interested, you know, want to start getting a little knowledge, and then, you know, of course, I'm on your Facebook, Carlos Figueroa.
Yeah, you're on Facebook, and
if they even Google my name, Carlos Seguro, they could see some of the accomplishments that I've had over these last few months. I got work coming out. I got a project that I did with bodybuilding.com on their website coming out very soon. I just finished the photo shoot with them a couple days ago. So I'm looking forward to that. If anybody is interested in looking up, you know, some of the things that I've done, they can feel free. You know, just, you know, people, if they want to see my credibility and what I have to offer. And
yeah,
I'm looking at coming out.
I was just wondering if you had a website or anything.
I don't have a personal website right now. It's in the works, but you know, I got my Facebook. I got I'm featured in muscleandfitness.com. I'm going to actually be in next month's Muscle and Fitness. Bodybuilding.com, and my YouTube channel where you know, I have little examples. And if, you know, if they want to see more stuff, you know, Carlos SEGURO, Google or Ving me. And that's about it for now.
Yeah, anytime you need promotion, you know, get a hold of me. Any promotions or anything like that, definitely get a hold of me.
I'm actually planning on accomplishing more and more as in the months to come. I actually have some big plans, so I would love to be on your show again.
Yeah, definitely. Like, it's just anything whatsoever. If there's any products or anything like that, any of your friends, any bodybuilders that need some promotion, tell them to get a hold of me. Write to me. Send it in my inbox. Let me know about them. I says right now I have a little bit of a lineup for people, so I'll try to get them. I'll let them know. I usually do shows. Let them know Wednesday nights at 9 p.m. Standard Eastern Time, and, you know, Sundays at noon, even if it's just an hour, they're delayed to come on. And anytime, Carlos, you need promotions with anything. And before you go, is there any shout-outs you'd like to give to anybody, to your girlfriend, to anybody, family members, or anybody at all?
Everybody's helped me along the way. All the support that I've had from, you know, partners over the years, and my girlfriend Angela Miller for sticking with me through, you know, because some of these times haven't been so great. You know, it gets stressful sometimes when you're trying to win major contests. And, you know, definitely a shout out to her for putting up with me. And, you know what I mean? I mean, that's about it. You know, let's keep it short and sweet. You know what I mean?
Yeah, short, just let me know. We'll get you back on the show in the future when you do some more things. And just to get a hold of me anytime, and even on my Facebook page, even when you're not on my show, I'll post some stuff up on my Facebook page. And, you know, I can always Twitter you, and, you know, definitely get your website going so then we can get it posted on my Facebook page. And thank you so much, Carlos, for being a guest on my show. And I wish you so much happiness, prosperity, and health, and keep going.
Thank you so much, Shelly. Thank you. It was great talking to you again.
Same here. Yes, we shall. And maybe someday we'll work on a set together. Never say never, because anything is possible.
All right. Keep up the great work.
All right. You too. And enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
All right. You too. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye.
Okay, everyone there. That was Carlos, if I can say, Sigalo. I think that's how you spell his name. But once again, you can go to his Facebook page, and he is a certified fitness trainer, you know, and you can go and check him out. And I like to bring more inspirational things, people that can inspire other people. I'm hoping to bring, you know, a great lineup out there to everyone. I do have people so that are going to be on my show. I have a whole list of people, and be patient with me. I'll get you your dates for to be on my show. Contact me. My name is Shelly Nunchucks, and once again, I just wanted to read about the two charity events. I'm bringing up my Facebook page here. Give me one moment. I do multitask. I do a couple of things. Sometimes I'm chasing my little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty. Yes, she was a stray little kitty that came into my life. And next thing I knew, I fed her, and she was in my apartment, and I had a kitty cat. So once again, with the charity events, okay, the one is the Sarah Joy Foundation 5K run. If you cannot make the event, I think it's being held down in Pennsylvania with my my partner, Charlie Hollerangelo, my big sister, who I'm affiliated with her Diamond in the Rough radio show. She's doing the Sarah Joy Foundation. And once again, Sarah had passed away from cancer you know, a little while ago, I believe last year, and she left it behind, and really lots of family members and such. And in my own way, I'm actually going to take her husband, Sacrifice, and his brother, Kodiak, from their group, The Fighter, the song. I am dedicating it into my film, Dishwasher, to Sarah, to keep her memory alive, because she was a wonderful, you know, mother, wonderful human being, and now she's in heaven, you know, guiding an angel, watching over everyone down here on planet Earth. And I do believe, you know, she's just, even though I've never met her personally, I just think she's a wonderful human being. So I will be dedicating something somewhere in the credits at the end of my film, which is dedicated to my idol, man I call my friend Jackie Chan, my film, The Dishwasher. And it will be the song, The Fighter, will be dedicated to Sarah in my film. So you can check that out at Sarah's Joy Foundation, the 5K run, if you want to donate money towards that. I think there might be t-shirts you can purchase. The other event that is going to be happening in Maine, it is September 28th. It's the 2013 Greater Portland Walk to End Alzheimer's. And it's an event, if you cannot make it, you can actually donate online. You can go to the web addresses, A as in Apple, L as in Larry, Z as in Zebra, .org/walk. It's a walk to help to try to end Alzheimer's, and it's something that you can check out on the webpage there. So check those two foundations, charity events out, and I will be bringing more information about other charity events, because I know that just like Buddha or Stanley says, you know, with great power comes great responsibility, and I know as my voice gets, you know, bigger, I can actually do this and make a difference in the world. And also, as you guys hear in the beginning of my show all the time, there is a song that I played called Battle Song. And it is by Director Z, a man I look up to, my big brother Z, who, if it wasn't for him, I would not even be doing this radio show right now and bringing the great, wonderful guests that I do. We are doing a film called Falcyr, F as in Frank, A-L-C-Y-Y-R. And it's actually, for Director Z, he's actually dedicating the film towards all the women that helped him in his life. So he gives back. He runs a school in Maine. And we are looking for donations for that film for Falcyr. And I'm doing one of the leads, and I have to say, this is the hottest film I've ever worked on in my life. And we're going to have to do our own fighting and such, and I know it's going to be really hard. We were taking horseback riding lessons, but our company does need your help and donations and stuff. So please go to the Facebook page. Give what you can, because believe me, they're making their own costumes. And the body armor, yes, it is kind of like a dream come true for me, myself. I've always wanted to play Wonder Woman. And it's kind of like I am playing Wonder Woman, I'm playing a Valkyrie, and we're going to be fighting, you know, the good versus the evil and stuff, and we will be doing in body armor, you know, and that's going to take money to make, so we are in need of funds, and you can go to that. And also, for my own film, The Dishwasher, which I actually got from the title of The Dishwasher, I actually got from Dragon the Bruce Lee story, where actually from that film where Bruce Lee, he gets into a fight and his boss sits him down. He was actually a dishwasher in the scene where that's when he, you know, he came to America. He was working as a dishwasher, and his boss told him, you know, long story short, you know, if you don't behave, she can always use a good dishwasher for the rest of her life, which meaning Bruce Lee had a lot of potential. So I actually got the title for my film, The Dishwasher. I'm a dishwasher, and I dream of working with Jackie Chan. So I'm also looking for funds for my film. And actually, I have people that are going to be working on the film set with me, but it's $500 that I need. And if there's someone that's willing to donate $500 towards my film, I will make you executive producer. You will have the credits of executive producer in my film. And people are like, wow, It's only $500 for your film. It's an indie film. And believe me, the people that I got on board, very, very talented. And if anybody's going to approach me for funds for my film, please do not ask me to whitewash my own film. I am not changing the director. I'm not changing the actor or anything like that. If you're thinking of me to cast it and whitewash the film, there's no way I would take your money for my film. But if there are people that want to help out and donate towards funds for the film, for Valcare, you have to go to that page for there. I'm not taking donations myself for Valcare. But for my film, The Dishwasher, if you'd like to get involved and help donate, contact me personally. And I will, you know, like I said, it's $500 for my film. I will make you executive producer. Believe me, with my film, I can get it to Jackie Chan to show him, because that's my thank you to Jackie Chan. But I will be submitting my film, The Dishwasher, to different film festivals in different countries, and they will have subtitles on it. So that's my plans for my film. I don't look to win awards with my film, The Dishwasher, but that's exactly what I have plans for my film. And you can actually check it out, my page, The Dishwasher. It actually says The Dishwasher, my Jackie Chan-influenced film, and you can check it out there. So basically, my whole life, I've been an underdog. I've always, you know, always been in last place. And I know I'm never going to be Barbie. I'm never going to be a beauty queen. I have my own type of beauty. I'm a freak. What can I say? I'm imperfect and stuff. But just like Rocky, you know, Jackie Chan, those are my idols and I look up to. And, you know, I was the nerdy chick and all stuff. Yes, I'm a mama cosplayer. Where we actually, when we went to events, we had, you know, whole costumes. We weren't running around in G-strings and stuff. I mean, whatever people want to do, but I'm a mama cosplayer. I went to those things, and we dressed, you know, in things that were full costumes. And when I see full costumes, oh, man, that's such an just awesome. People that give a lot of work and stuff into the costumes. And believe me, if I'm a cosplayer and I want to learn more about being a ninja, can you imagine me showing up at a Comic-Con convention and doing what Ray Park does, flipping all around? I want to learn how to do flips. So going to Comic-Cons, you know, imagine standing out, coming up as a ninja or a samurai warrior and doing flips all over the place. Tell me that wouldn't get attention, right? I mean, that's just stuff that I would do, that I would bring, you know, to the Comic-Con conventions. You know, it's like, I don't know if you can really bring a katana blade. I've actually done a recent photo shoot with a real katana blade, and let me just say, that thing is dangerous. I'm not kidding. When I was holding the katana blade, I was like, oh my God, I could kill myself. I could cut my head off with this katana blade. It was a real sword. So doing the pictures, you know, for myself, I'm sitting here going, dear God in heaven, please don't let me cut my fingers off or anything like that. I was like, I don't want to cut my boobies off or anything holding this thing over my head, because I don't know, you know what I mean? I don't want to cut my nose or my ears off. It's just something that I was like, please give me the strength to focus on holding this very sharp, deadly weapon. So I did. I had a great, awesome photo shoot, but I got to admit, and I'm not a high heel type of girl, so I was like on a little pier. It wasn't really a pier. It was just tied down in the water. So the thing's moving back and forth. I've got these thick heels on. I'm in my Chinese dress, red Asian dress that I wear everywhere. And I'm sitting there going, trying to balance myself with this dangerous weapon over my head. And I'm going, you know, trying to pose. And I'm like thinking deep down inside, don't kill myself with this sword. The photographer's taking the picture, Shelley, focus. Don't fall off the pier in the water. Don't stab yourself. Don't commit Harry Carey or something with the sword while I'm taking pictures. And so I think I did a pretty good photo shoot, and I had a blast. Let me tell you, holding that katana blade, oh, my God, I was loving it. And it's like, you know, I know, like, a lot of girls get it in their head, you know, a lot of sexy girls that don't even train in martial arts stuff, and they pose, you know, with weapons and stuff. And I sit there, and I'm going, oh, these sexy women. But then it's like they start licking the swords and the guns, and I'm like, okay, now I just have to laugh, because from what I learned from growing up, I went to, you know, a shooting range, and I learned about rifles, and I was in an archery league, and from what I was telling, what was told for me from instructors and stuff, always respect your weapons. Even when I was in the dojo and stuff, and it's like, and it says, Jelly, be careful, respect your weapons. I don't sit around and licking my weapons stuff, no, for nothing, a katana blade. Do you know how sharp a katana blade is? If I'm licking a weapon, and I see, like, people doing weapons, these sexual poses, and I'm like, okay, whether a weapon, a gun and such, is loaded or not, and it's like people really, really, really should think, and the example I'm going to take, and it's a very hard example, and we all know, even people that don't know, is the thing, the set of the Crow. And I try to tell people, and it's like, people, women are going to say, I can do what I want. I'm like, okay, let them do what they want. But for me, thinking back, one of my favorite all-time films is The Crow. And when you think with what happened with Brandon Lee, it was something that was a mistake, and I found out the true story and stuff. And it's like, I always think about with that, handing any guns, any swords, a bow and arrow, anything whatsoever, nunchucks. Be very, very respectful because you really can lose your life. It's not a joke to handle weapons. And I know, and it's like, it's very critical, and they say don't take anything personal because, you know, people don't think I'm beautiful enough for a part. But having some experience and knowing on set, I'm very respectful towards weapons, and, you know, I would have that, you know, be very helpful on sets because I have that respect. And, you know, on sets, I do know that there's a lot of people that handle weapons that are very, you know, they're licensed and such like that. But for me to have the background of what I'm doing, I think it would be helpful for those safety people. It's like, oh, Shelly's had some experience and understands, you know, don't point the gun at yourself. I mean, I see these crazy pictures that people post, and I'm like, okay, you're not supposed to be posting the gun at your face, even if it's unloaded. And I'm just like sitting there going, no, it absolutely has nothing to do with me being jealous. And people would say, oh, you're jealous of this girl because she's really pretty. And I'm going, no, you don't get the point. And sometimes I always say the art of communication is lost on the internet. You don't take a gun and whether it's empty or not and point it like at your face. Even if you're on a gun range and stuff like that, because I grew up, you know, where I went to a shooting range, and I was really little. I was like, you know, 7, 8 years old, and I was around guns. On the instruction range, on the shooting range, Damis Middleton, you know, it was something where you had to put the gun down. I mean, it was all this whole thing. And they had targets. It was, you know, outdoor, and they would say, they would ring a buzzer after shooting. Everyone would put their gun down, and you could not touch your gun. And this is really rifles and stuff like that. You would go and change your target. No one was allowed to. Your gun had to stay on the table, and this was at a shooting range, and you could not touch. There were rules. So this is what I grew up, do not touch the guns when you're not supposed to touch the guns and all these things and stuff like that. So, you know, there were rules and regulations. So this is stuff that I learned. So when I'm looking and I'm seeing someone, you know, fooling around with a gun and pointing at their head and everything like that and seeing whether it's loaded or not, it is very dangerous. And so it's like, it's very hard to explain it because people are like, well, you know, this and that. And I'm like, I don't even give advice and stuff because it's just going to go in one and out the other. So I'm starting to learn. I don't even go on people's Facebook pages anymore because I think it's a waste of time because, for me, I'm worried about the safety of people. And once again, because the art of communication is lost, people will come back to me and said, oh, you're just insecurities about yourself, Shelly. And it's nothing to do with insecurities, and they'll say, oh, I'm a hater, hater, hater. And I'm going, no, I know the safety of weapons because if I was on a set, you know that a director and everyone and the safety people are not going to want you to fool around with weapons. I mean, even like I kid around, like, oh, I love nunchucks and swords and everything like that. I am very respectful because practicing with nunchucks, I've got bruises on my elbows. I've hit myself in the head. So I do know that nunchucks are very dangerous. And then even something I found out this morning, I found out a yo-yo. Yes, a yo-yo is actually, I believe, a ninja weapon. I was looking at the show with Stanley's show that I think was in July. Mind you, I don't own a TV, so I was like Googling stuff about, you know, samurai warriors and the Ronin and stuff because I'm going to be playing a ninja in a scene. that's at the end of this month, which I'm very, very, very excited for. And it was like Yo-Yo Ninja, and they were describing it. It was a Stan Lee show, and saying that the yo-yo was actually a weapon many years ago that had, like, spikes or something on it. And I'm like, oh, my God, I want to be a yo-yo ninja. And I'm like, I'm looking at this guy, and he's swinging the yo-yo all around. And I was just like, this guy really is a yo-yo ninja. And I was like, matching a yo-yo. Now, if kids see this show, they're going to go out and get a yo-yo, and they're going to start smacking people around with a yo-yo. But it was an interesting fact to find out that a yo-yo was actually a weapon. And believe me, I see all these different type of weapons, but I'm so floored because these little tiny things that are just toys and stuff, they were actually years ago weapons. And even I know that nunchucks were actually a farmer's tool. And I even know that. You know, it's just like things, I'm like, really? Nunchucks was a farmer's tool? Like all these things. I'm just like, it's really cool to find out about, you know, weapons history and stuff. So I have a blast finding about this stuff, and even, like, finding more about samurais. I was watching this thing, and I go, watching this morning on YouTube. And I was like, I've seen this thing on Kung Fu Theater. And if you guys don't know what Kung Fu Theater is, back in the 70s and the 80s, there was a station, I think it was USA or something, I forget what station it was on, but it was called Kung Fu Theater. It was so badly dubbed. All the dubbing was horribly done. But people like myself, we love Kung Fu Theater. And it's like, it's just hysterical. But the movements and stuff, even though, you know, it was a lot from different countries, I sat there and I was totally blown away. I was so mesmerized with the movements and stuff. But it was kind of weird to me because I'm a kid and I'm going, well, this is from another country, but it's kind of cool. But I don't understand what's going on in the film. But the movements themselves made up for everything, and I'm sitting there going, wow, these people are amazing. And it's like, people would think that Kung Fu Theater was stupid, and I was like, you know, I just liked watching it. And I couldn't help myself because I was so memorized by the movements, and I loved Kung Fu Theater. It was just something that I've always am going to love. I don't even know if it still exists anymore, but it was just Kung Fu Theater is just the cheese itself. And I'm a woman for action films. Even the cheesiest films in the 80s, I would, you know, sometimes I just want to watch and kick back and watch a good cheese action film. Can't help it. It's, you know, it's just something that I've always loved. Let's see. You know, I'm just checking out the time here. Oh, my goodness. See, I talk, and it's like, almost time to go. I cannot help this. It's like, it is, I'm just telling you, it's a blessing for me to do this radio show. I never thought in my life I would be doing a radio show, and I've been doing it like for over a year now. And I'm just like, I can't even believe I'm doing this. I guess you got to keep doing in life what you're good at. And it seems like talking is what I'm good at. And it's like, I don't know if it's my accent on my energy, and I'm so ready to take a nap right now. You people just don't even know. I'm sitting here going, I just want to take a nap. And, you know, working full-time and achieving your dreams, and it, as you heard, like, with Carlos and stuff, a lot of people just don't realize, you know, when you're doing films and independent films and many things in the entertainment business, I mean, you see in the media, like, people going out to these events and these parties and stuff. That's not always true. I am exhausted as I speak. I am not kidding. When I get a chance to take a nap, I'm going to take a nap. I honestly do not know how Jackie Chan does it. I swear to God. I mean, I should ask him. I was like, do you have a twin? I know he doesn't, and I know he flies around in a jet, but how does this man do it? And he's older than me. I will never be able to keep up with Jackie Chan. I can't even... I'm never even going to be a percentage like Jackie Chan. I mean, the guy is amazing. Like, he's here, he's there. He could be in China one day and be in Hollywood the next. And he's running around. I'm like, when does this man sleep? But I think he sleeps on sets and when he's flying on the plane. I think that's when Jackie actually, you know, falls asleep there. So, you know, I'm just sitting here going, you know, very blessed to be able to do a radio show, which now, if you ask my marketing partner, Charlie, it's now, head, like having people look for syndication for my radio show. And that, man, that would be the ultimate dream. Syndication for my radio show. You know, I do it, I had to cut down to 2 days. I was doing a lot more shows, but I'm so tired and exhausted. It has to be, I'm sorry, people, I can't do what I used to do. It's Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Standard Eastern Time, and Sundays at noon. And believe me, I love doing the radio show. It's just that I'm so exhausted with everything I'm doing, and I know I'm going to have to bust my butt, you know, to do the scene for Sal Care and to work out even more. So I'm even having most of the days an earlier schedule to get out earlier to work out even more. And now that I'm getting to do all this stuff, it's hard. It is very, very hard. I'm not kidding, to be able to do this. And I'm not even doing anything even close to Jackie Chan. I mean, the man, how on earth did he do all those things? How does he keep going? Jackie's like, you know how they say would you remember the commercial, the Energizer Bunny? Well, Jackie's an Energizer Monkey. That's what he is. I don't know where Jackie Chan gets his batteries from. The man keeps going and going and going, and it's like they should do that new commercial instead of the Energizer Bunny. They should have the Energizer Monkey and have Jackie Chan on it and showing him bouncing off things. And it's like, you know how people, you know how they think like, oh, Jackie Chan is old and blah 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 this and that. And it's like, you know, why don't you call him a little bit older here? Because first of all, I like to see you climb up a building. You know, people in their 20s calling Jackie Chan old. I like to see half you people doing what Jackie Chan does, and he's twice your age. So yes, another thing too. Jackie Chan is not some fat. Jackie Chan has always, you know, something I've loved since I was a little girl. There's fads out there that come and go, actors that come and go. Jackie Chan is here. Jackie Chan is in 24/7. Jackie Chan is in, has always and will always be in. Jackie Chan is an in thing. Jackie Chan's not a fad. And I think even now on his Facebook page, he has over 40,000, not 40,000, I'm sorry, let me take that back, I'm wrong. Jackie Chan's Facebook page has over 40 million people. Could you imagine, seriously, a Jackie Chan party? That would be awesome. Over 40 million people. Do you imagine having 40, you know how like they have Comic-Con conventions and stuff? Can you imagine if those over 40 million people could get to a Jackie Chan event? It would be chaos. It would be utter chaos at a Jackie Chan event if all of us Jackie Chan, the community, we all got to a Jackie Chan event at one time. 40 million people, that's a whole country. There should be a name for, if you have over 40 million people on Facebook page, you'd have your own country. Do you know what it would be like? I mean, no, seriously, thinking about that, flat screen TVs, Jackie Chan 24/7, oh my God, that would be a dream come true, Jackie Chan land. I think there should be a country named after Jackie called Jackie Chan land, because if you have people on your Facebook page, it's over 40 million people, it should be called Jackie Chan land or something like that. I mean, this should be an amusement park. Oh my God, could you picture an amusement park? I mean, come on, they have Dollywood Land, Elvis Presley has Graceland. This should be a Jackie Chan amusement park, right, or something like that. There should even be a roller coaster named after Jackie Chan. Can you imagine that? Some amusement park ride named after Jackie Chan. Do you know the adrenaline rush that people could get from that? Because you could just, I don't know, I just could imagine like an amusement park ride like Jackie Chan, the adrenaline rush. I mean, the things that he does, you could have like, I don't know, you know what would be cool? Because if you ever been down to Florida and those rides where you go inside a room, it's like the Star Wars thing or the Muppets one or Honey, I Shrunk the Kid, they should, I swear to God, they should have this ride where it's the Jackie Chan ride. I'm not kidding. Do you know how crazy that would be? He should do some sort of ride in Universal Studios. You get something like maybe showing his films, and you're there on the set, whether you're swinging or something like that, they should have a Jackie Chan 3D ride or something. And it's like, it would be awesome. I'm just not, no, I don't know why. There's no amusement park rides like Jackie Chan. That would be utterly insane. I mean, come on. They got the Superman. They got, I think they have the Batman one. But you got to admit, it would be utterly insane to have a Jackie Chan amusement ride. You could just imagine the hilarity, how crazy this. People would get off that ride and remember that for the rest of their life. I mean, that just can't, just so excited. And, you know, I'm sitting here waiting, and I'm praying for Chinese Zodiac to come to America. I'm like, I don't even know, because people keep asking me about his one of his latest films, which was playing. Maybe I gotta wait to see it on DVD. And I don't know. I'm just excited. I saw the trailer with Chinese Zodiac. I think he just got done doing a new Police Story, and he has some sort of concert coming up. When does Jackie Chan stop? Now do you see why he's my idol? Look at how, and like, I'm still going. Like the Energizer, you know, bunny, but yeah, they should get the Energizer monkey, name it after Jackie Chan. But, yeah. Anyway, guys, I just thank everyone from the bottom of my heart, all the stunt guys, all the actors, everyone that's going to be on guests on my future show, everyone that's been on my show, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. Everybody that tunes in and listens to my show, thank you. If I can see this correctly, I know it's S-I-E-X-I-E, Shashay, Shashay, I think that means thank you in Chinese. I don't know if it's Mandarin or Cantonese, and I know, like, someday I want to learn how to speak Chinese, but I know it's, I don't know which one I should really speak, because I would like to talk to Jackie, you know, in Chinese someday. Maybe I'll learn that. But you know how, like, people say they can't understand Jackie Chan? Sometimes people can't understand me. But get me and Jackie Chan in the room, I swear to God, we'd understand each other, and no one will understand. We'll be speaking in English. No one will understand what I'm saying. No one will understand what Jackie Chan will say. But in English, Jackie and Chan and I think we have our own little, you know, we understand each other. So I think that would be kind of cool. You know how, like, they say a set of twins, when they're born and they're grown up, they have their own language and no one understands what they're saying? I bet if you get Jackie Chan and me in a room and we're speaking English, no one will understand what I'm saying, but we'll understand each other. Because people ask me, like, what is Jackie Chan saying? I was like, how do you not know what Jackie Chan says? It's just opening up and understanding. And anyway, oh boy, I haven't even taken a shower. I need a shower. Well, at least I ate breakfast before I came on live on the air. I think I need a little bit of more coffee. But anyway, everyone, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart listening to my show. I do feel very blessed, and I feel so lucky to be able to do this. And, you know, this to go towards syndication, that would be a dream of mine. You know, I may not have much in this world, but I have a good heart, and now I feel blessed that I get to explain it more live on the air, because, like I said, with the internet, art of communication is lost in the internet. So at least in this way, when I'm speaking, people can understand, even when I'm speaking funny with my Boston accent, people can understand what I'm saying. So thank you all so much from the bottom of my heart. And I'm going to have great lineups. And everyone, I hope you all just remember me, the underdog, like Rocky, you know, talking kind of funny and stuff like that. If I can do it and you want to do something that you have a dream, just remember, you are as good as anybody else. Go for it. You ain't got nothing to lose. You're only losing because you ain't doing it in the first place. So I hope wherever you are in the world, I mean, I'm up here in Maine, and it's afternoon time, so it's good afternoon. If wherever you are in the world, good morning, good evening, wherever you are, I hope it's good, 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 good. So anyway, thank you all for tuning in. And once again, I'm ending the show with Battle Song, from our film called Falcare. And director Z, he gets to work with his beautiful, lovely, talented wife, Snari. And they're doing this, and it's like, you know, like any song for a film, it helps set the mood. And this is a battle song, which is called Battle Song. Well, everyone, once again, thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning in, and enjoy the rest of your day, afternoon, evening, and I shall look forward to everyone once again. Well, everyone, Have a good day, night, evening, whatever. Bye-bye.